course we're going to get back to the subject of blessing your enemies. I know. Well, I left Nebuchadnezzar on hold too. He's still out in the field with Bossy, eating grass. There's just too much here. There's too much good here in Jeremiah 29. Now, I know this is a letter to Israel, but again, my whole purpose here is to tell us how we are to live in a foreign administration, and we are going to be subject to deception by false prophets. And this chapter is amazing. You know, I have not read this chapter in a long time, and I'm reading this before the show today. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Monday. This is Martin Zender, your host, your guide into the scriptures. Don't take my word for anything, folks. You got to be Bereans. You have to look at this stuff for yourself. You have to test it. Test the spirits. Test me. Look up these scriptures. Read along with me. Again, I am using A.E. Knox's excellent book, Concordance Studies in the Book of Daniel, as a guide. I'm seeing my own things in here. I'm riffing and having a good time, and I trust you are too. If you want to help support this work and help keep it going, because this almost sounds like a public television thing. You know, operators are standing by, though. I will say that. They are standing by. I'm not going to say much. I'm not going to go on for an hour here, but I do need your help to continue to do this work. And it's an organic thing. It's a miracle every day because, you know, people pay me money to make sure I do nothing for money. Does that make sense? People send me gifts to help keep me going. Zender, we can't do what you do, but you can do it. Thank God. We listen to you every day. We benefit from your newsletters, from your books. Thanks for putting out two new books, Martin. We benefit from your show, so keep going. Here's something to help. I need it. That's the only way it happens, or else I'm done, because I'm not supported by an institution. I don't have a diploma on my wall. You know, I don't get an official paycheck. I haven't for 20 years. It's an organic, spirit-led, spirit-filled miracle. Having said that, once in a while, I remind you that this is how it is. So an easy way to help keep this show going is just to make an automatic contribution instead of having to think about it. Like, maybe I ought to send Zender $20 or, you know, $20,000. Maybe I should send Martin, you know, $20,000. Spirit of God is working on me. I've had a dream. Just kidding. Just kidding about all that. You can do an automatic thing where you can just go to my website. And it says, donate to the ministry, because that's what this is. I minister to you. And there are many people that can't afford to pay for anything. Things are tough all over. I understand that. Believe me. I get it. And so these people can listen free, and they can go to the website, and they can read the newsletter free because of you, because of those of you who can do something, do something. That way, those who can't do something get it. You know, somebody said something really wrong the other day to my friend Dan Sheridan. They said, you know, the Apostle Paul never took money. That is not true. The Apostle Paul said to the Corinthians, I despoil other ecclesias. In other words, I take more than my share from other churches so that I can give to you, the Corinthians, for free. He ministered freely among the Corinthians. It was kind of his pet ecclesia. In order to do that, he took money from the other ecclesias. Lydia supplied Paul. Lydia from Philippi, she financed his taking the evangel into Europe. She financed a second missionary trip. Lydia did. She was a seller of purple, she was a woman of means, and she was a liberal contributor to Paul's cause. That's a pretty good resume enhancement at the dais of Christ. Financed Paul's second missionary trip. So I thank you for your continued support. And again, I am sorry that I have been behind on my correspondence and thank you notes. And I'm going to rectify that here in another few days. But I've just been working hard. So it doesn't mean that your sacrifices for this work go unappreciated, because they don't. And if I keep going on that, I'll get all weepy, because I just love you. I love all of you. And I love doing this show. Back to Jeremiah 29. This is a long chapter, but I'm going to read mainly and comment a little bit as I go. And we're going to apply this to our situation today, because we are currently inundated, infiltrated, and decimated by false prophets. They're still among us, and now they're called Christians, and they're liars. They are liars, freaking liars. They're telling you wrong things about God. They're telling you wrong things about you and purporting it to be from God. And I hate it. God hates it. Martin, how could God hate anything? It's an era of grace. God still hates it. As I said to you many times, it's an era of grace, not an era of nice. And I'm about to not be nice right now. They are prophesying lies. Jeremiah 29, verse 9. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, but all is of God. Okay, yes, absolutely God sends them. As we read in 2 Thessalonians 2, God sends an operation of deception. That's the absolute viewpoint. But the relative viewpoint is they're not sent by him. In other words, they're getting their marching orders from Satan. Oh, but no, Martin, they're nice people. Then you don't understand how Satan works. Verse 10, this is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, we're in Secrets of Daniel, and we're talking about Babylon. And secrets in Daniel are secrets for today, because Babylon is once more going to be the world capital. When 70 years are completed, and Israel was in exile for 70 years in Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. You see, God does have plans to prosper, and people know this, and so they try to come in ahead of him. Satan will always imitate, listen to this, this is important, Satan will always imitate a coming work of Christ. He sees it a little bit ahead. He's far ahead of the curveball, farther than we are. Not we as the members of the body of Christ, but religion, Christianity. And he sees that it's God's plan to prosper Israel. It's God's plan to bring Israel to the head of the world. But he is going to sneak in ahead of time, and he is going to create a counterfeit. Always and everywhere. This is Satan's modus operandi, a counterfeit. And people are going to buy into the counterfeit because it seems right. And the reason it seems right is because it's based on a scripture. It's based on something God said he was going to do. But God is going to do it 70 years from now. That's the problem. God's going to do it all right. But he's going to do it 70 years. You're going to be, Jerusalem, you're going to be in captivity in Babylon for 70 years. And you're going to pray to me, and you're going to go there. Unlike the false prophets that told you not to go there, they told you that I'm going to prosper you now. And Joel Osteen and these Oklahoma guys, Kenneth Copeland, and these people, they're saying that you're supposed to prosper now. They're telling you that you're not supposed to be naked. You're not supposed to be under the sword. You're not supposed to be as a sheep led to slaughter. Get yourself off the cross. And they're prophesying ahead of time, because that day is coming. The day was coming when Jesus was on the cross, when he was going to get off the cross. Satan spoke to him through the priesthood, through the false prophets, come down from the cross. Prosperity ministers are preaching to you, come down from the cross. Christianity today, political Christianity, is teaching to you that we are coming upon an era of good and plenty. Good and plenty, just like Choo Choo Charlie. Well, guess what? That is going to happen, but it's going to happen after 7 years of tribulation. They're telling you we can bring it in now. And that is Satan's standard issue tactic, is to say that it's going to come now. He preempts it. He sneaks in the door ahead of the real thing, and it's an imitation. Just like Aaron and Moses in front of Pharaoh with their staffs becoming serpent staffs, and the magicians in Egypt, they duplicated it. They did it too by their black arts. But what happened? Aaron's serpent consumed theirs, and that's what's going to happen in the end. Lucky them, they saw in an afternoon what God is going to take 7 years to show. He's going to eventually consume King for how before God consumed him thrust him away, cast him out. Israel, same thing. All these parallels are just coming in. Israel temporarily cast out. And while she's cast out, this is a key of revelation. She is going to make a union with the world because the world is going to offer her something that she cannot resist, and that is world domination. But it's going to come in ahead of time, but it's going to look and feel like the real thing. And so the United States, we support Israel, but you know who we're really supporting? We're supporting the false Israel. We're supporting an Israel who doesn't even recognize her Messiah. And I have no doubt in my mind that we are going to help her build the false temple of the end times, because that's part of the seduction. So God says, I have plans. I have plans to prosper you, and I know about it. I've heard you. You know, the deliverance ministries, I'm sure there were deliverance ministries in Egypt when Israel was in Egypt. We're going to deliver you. You can get out of here. Come on, we're going to jailbreak. Even Moses fell for that. He killed that Egyptian and said, this is it. This is the deliverance. Eve has a son, names him Cain. Oh, this is the deliverance. God said that I'm going to produce the seed that's going to crush the serpent's head. I guess it's Cain. I guess not. I think it's Jesus Christ. So there's going to have to be a lot of generations between Cain and Jesus Christ. So everybody thinks it's going to happen now. That's where the Spirit of God comes in. That's why one of the fruits of the Spirit is patience. It's number four. I think it should be number one, but yeah, I guess love deserves that place. Love, joy, peace, patience. Wow. But God does not leave his friends bereft of understanding. He does not leave them guessing as to what he's going to do. He tells them through true prophets. But as Jesus said in Matthew 13, the parable of the tares, the wheat and the tares, part of the secret of lawlessness is that the tares and the wheat look alike while they're growing up. And I told you, we are in the era now that the false is going to be sustained by God. He gives the rain to the just and the unjust alike. The falseness is going to be sustained. It's going to grow up right next to the good, and the wheat and the tares are going to look identical, whereas it's going to take the Spirit of God, as we read in Hebrews, to discern between the soul and the spirit, to discern what is of the soul, what is of false prophets, and what are of true Word of God. And that takes discernment. It takes the Word. The Word is sharper than a two-edged sword, and it is able to cut, discern between the soul and the spirit, and that is a spiritual skill you are going to need in this day. Together, we're going to sharpen our swords. We're going to sharpen ourselves in the Word. And we are not going to be victims of Satan's stratagems. We're not going to fall with the rest of the world. We are founded on the rock. The rock is Christ. And the messenger of Christ for us is the Apostle Paul.